Foxworthy Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Fox. I'm here with my co-host, Taylor Gaines. We're
Hello.
Here for another week to talk some TV.
Yeah.
We've
TV, maybe.
We took a hiatus. We didn't really take
a hiatus.
I feel like we always take hiatus.
We had an irregular recording.
We had an off week where we talked about Hamilton, which is musical theater, no relation to television. And then last week we recorded something about Unreal, and we talked a little bit about the ending of the season 4 of The Americans. Today, we intended to record kind of talking about Orange is the New Black, but I think we've kind of steered the conversation a little bit of a different direction, kind of talking generally about Netflix and the Netflix model. Taylor had some things he wanted to...
I just wanted to talk about Netflix because I don't know that there's that much to say about Orange is the New Black for me personally, as bullet points basically is like, it's good. I never remember how much I actually like it until I'm watching it again.
Right, that was the thing we were sort of talking about as we started recording, is like, how many have you gotten through? You said a few and you forgot that it's as enjoyable as it is.
Yeah, I forgot how easy it is to just let it play on and on into the next one, versus some other Netflix shows, I guess. But there's just so many characters, and it's like a lot to keep track of, especially when you're watching a lot of other shows. And weirdly, I was saying it's before we recorded, it's kind of like the only show on Netflix that feels like it really works on Netflix.
Right.
Because, like, when you watch a bunch in a row, you can remember everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm. So this is a show you feel like benefits from the binge model.
I think so. At the same time.
More so than other things that Netflix does.
At the same time, I think analytically and critically, the Netflix model hurts this show because it has a lot of thematic and... What's the other word? I lost it.
We were talking kind of before we started recording. You kind of were making the point to me that you feel like there's a lot of strength in their individual episodes.
Well, there's just a lot of stuff.
If it was airing week to week, that you could have the episode by episode conversation and take each episode as a whole rather than the whole season. But because it's on Netflix, the conversation kind of just covers the whole 13-episode arc.
I just feel like it's like Mad Men in that there's a lot to dig into in each episode.
Right.
That doesn't get to be dug into because of the way it's released.
Right.
I struggle with, like, how do we talk about shows on our podcast? Because there's so much stuff. Like, we've talked about this ad nauseum, probably, that there's so much stuff.
Right.
But how do you talk about it when not everyone is watching what you're watching?
Or they've watched one and they won't get back to the rest of it for several weeks. I mean, I've watched two. I think you've watched three. Some people have already watched the entire season, the first 12 hours that it was released.
I'm just torn to, like, this idea of, is Netflix a good thing or is Netflix a bad thing?
But when you say Netflix, you're referring to just the fact that they released all the episodes at once.
Well, let me pull this back a little bit because I think it's that, but it's also when a show like Preacher is on and you say to your friend, oh, you should watch Preacher, there's a good chance that their response will be, and I don't even know if this show is going on Netflix, but there's a good chance that their response will be like, oh, I'll just wait till it's on Netflix and then I'll watch it.
Right, because they want to watch it all at once.
Right, or there's the shows that you're talking about, which is the Netflix originals. The House of Cards, Bloodline, Daredevil.
The best Netflix show.
Orange.
Master of None,
BoJack, Kimmy Schmidt. Those shows are intentionally put up as blocks for the very first time that they're released. Mm. Versus, like, this show was on TV a year ago and now it's on Netflix.
Right.
And I'm just torn. I mean, I guess to me it's because conversation about these things is important to me, or like I want to hear it so that we can all kind of, like, at least people I know or people I read, like, can consume these things together. And it's hard to do with Netflix in a way that is confusing for me. But I mean, I don't know, what do you think of all, like, do you, as a consumer, do you prefer Netflix model versus week to week?
I'm a little torn. I definitely have had periods where I've gone through and just binged shows to catch up. I watched a lot of Mad Men kind of all at once in a period of just a few days. some seasons of Breaking Bad I did that with too. I don't typically have the time to rewatch shows, but if I were to like rewatch something like Mad Men, I would want to watch like an episode, think about it, watch another one, or maybe watch two or three at a time rather than watching whole seasons at a time. I'm sort of torn. I feel like certain things, like there was a show on FX that I really liked that you can find, I think you can find the whole series now, all five seasons, on Netflix called Damages, starring Glenn Close, which is actually the same creative team as the Netflix show Bloodline. And that show, even though it aired week to week, I didn't catch up with it till it was on Netflix. And that was the first show I think I ever actually just binged. And I couldn't stop watching it. Like, it was literally so addicting, I would just stay up all night and just, I could not press play on the next one. But I kind of have gotten out of that a little bit because of the way that we kind of like to talk about things, and there's just so much to watch. I try to watch maybe two at a time or three at a time at the most. I haven't binged anything in a really long time, but I think I'm kind of out of my phase of binging things. I try to spread things out and just kind of savor them and kind of dig a little deeper and dive into them more, which maybe slows me down a little bit. I don't get to watch as much stuff, but I don't know. I'm a little torn between, I've had really good experiences binge watching, and it's a lot of fun sometimes, especially if something is just super addicting. Like, Damages was like crack. Like, I don't think I've ever binged a show as hard as I did that show. Like, once I started, I did not stop. I just kept going and going and going, and it was so much fun.
You know what show that was for me?
What?
Parks and Rec.
Really?
I think I watched all of Parks and Rec up to like season 6 or whatever in like probably 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that show's shorter probably.
Right. But now,
I think everybody probably has a show that they've just like pigged out on.
Well, certain shows are also just like Kimmy Schmidt, for example. Like, you haven't even made it to season 2 yet just because there's been a lot going on. But that's a show you really liked in the first season, and that'll take you, what, like 5 hours to watch the second season? It'll be nice and quick, and you'll probably want to watch them back to back to back because they're so quick and easy. They go down real smooth. They're like, most of them are less than 30 minutes.
Yeah. It's just a weird for like,
it's disorienting. I mean,
it's very confusing. It's not like, if we were a podcast that talked about movies all the time, we could just be like, this movie came out on Friday, let's talk about it.
Right.
But because of how many different speeds people work at, it's hard to figure out how to talk about certain things, just because you could say, we're going to talk about Orange is the New Black season 4, right, and we've watched all 13 episodes. And then people are going
to
be like, oh, well, I'm staying away because I haven't.
Right, and that's the thing is, when you don't know how many people have watched how many episodes, you're kind of like, do I want to spoil? Do I warn about spoilers? Are we talking creatively and artistically about it? Are we talking plot? Like, what are we spoiling? What are we not? So it's just kind
of
messy.
Yeah, I mean, this is like sort of behind the scenes, I guess, since we don't have like hundreds of listeners or whatever. But
we might. We don't even know.
But like, but even in regular life, at least for me, as someone who really likes culture and stuff, like, I'll be talking to someone and they'll be like, oh, dude, have you watched, you know, Daredevil season 2 yet? And be like, oh, I've watched 2 of them. And they're like, oh, never mind. And you're just like,
right,
oh, there goes that conversation. It's just like, it's disorienting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know what to make of it, really. I'm still kind of trying to figure out how to navigate through this world.
Yeah. That's why it's so fun when you have something that is so, like, such a cultural phenomenon that it is kind of like the consensus thing, where everybody's doing it, everybody's in
it,
watching it.
That's why Game of Thrones
it.
Was really...
Game of Thrones.
Is really exciting.
Hamilton, another example.
Hamilton. Yeah, and...
Adele's new record.
Hopefully Mr. Robot will sustain what it did in its first season.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see if the second season will be as strong, and if it will... Because I feel like that's a show people... And now that it's on, for people who haven't caught up with it, the first season of Mr. Robot's 10 episodes, it is now streaming on Amazon Prime. I highly, highly recommend watching it. I think the new season starts the 13th of July, which is like roughly 2 weeks from when we're recording. But it'll be interesting to see if the excitement level and the sort of creative, the freshness that we kind of felt from it last year sustains, and if it's something that is now the big show of the summer that people will want to watch and talk about.
Do you think, because everything is so fractured, that people might drift back towards movies? I mean, that's not to say that people don't still like movies, because obviously there's people who love movies and people love television and people love both, but like, generally, do you think that could happen on a broader scale, or do you think that movies are, like, the studio system is so jacked up right now that it, like, screws up that?
Well, I honestly think it comes down to what people... I know a lot of people who have kind of just become homebodies because of the way that TV works, and the way that it's just like, you go to work for a long day and you come home and all you want to do is stay at home. and you don't want to leave. And if you're already paying, I mean, this is totally another topic, but Netflix price is going up a dollar, or maybe two for some people.
Per month.
So it's now going to be $9.99. I just got the notification that even, I think I had like a grace period where they were like, your price won't go up for X amount of months. But now, like, I think in a month it's going to go up officially, so it's going to be $9.99. I mean, that's basically the cost of a movie, and you have infinite number of, you know, anything that's on there you can just watch.
Right.
So it's sort of, I almost feel like that does take kind of a huge part of it, is like a lot of people have just kind of taken to their couches. They're like, well, why would we go to a movie when we can just watch something here? It's just a convenience thing, I think. And it's just, that's just sort of our culture now, is like people in relationships, families, people literally just, they crash on their couch now. And it's just like, what's on Netflix? You want to fire up Netflix? What do you got? And then you sit there and you spend more time.
Have you watched Friends yet? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, for me, it's weird. Cause like, I love to, and obviously this might just be a really specific thing.
Right.
But I love to watch things and then like break them down.
Right.
And like talk about them for hours with my friends and stuff.
So do I.
Which is like half the reason why we even do this.
Right.
But like you can't really do that as much. And with the amount of TV shows there are, sometimes there's just not a lot to break down in a TV episode.
Right.
Because it's just, like, plot. And it's, like there's not, like, a ton of thematic elements to a Daredevil episode on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, what's next? What's next? What's next? And that's sort of what a lot of TV has become. And that's fine when it comes to, I want to sit down after work and see what happens next on this. But
right.
For me, I just want something more substantial to, like, hang on to and talk about. And that's why I wonder if movies have potential to like do something really interesting, even and like qualifier, obviously a lot of really interesting TV shows and a lot of really interesting movies, but I'm just saying on a broad general basis,
right?
Because like I saw The Neon Demon last week.
Oh boy.
Which I've been doing this thing lately which I really enjoy,
where you hear a title and you go see it without kind of knowing anything about it.
I have one friend
you go
who
in cold.
Is like super into movies and stuff, and he's always like, dude, this movie I've heard is like just a visual like masterpiece, or like it's insanely intense the whole time, or something. He'll tell me like one thing about it, and I'm like, stop right there. I don't want to know anything else about it. Let's just go see it. So I walk into this movie. I've never seen a Nicholas Winding Refn movie, who made Drive and Only God Forgives and other stuff.
Valhalla Rising or something like that.
And
definitely a visual stylist, for sure.
I walked in and was just like blown away by the experience. Like, I don't think it's the best movie I've ever seen or anything,
but
like,
you won't forget it.
And with a movie that's that dense and adventurous and inventive and just like ambitious. Did I say ambitious already?
No, you didn't.
I would have sounded so professional if I had just kept going. It's just really cool to be able to think about it later and be like, man, what do you think that meant?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think the point of that, like, scene was?
Right.
And that's just something I really, like, miss when shows like Mad Men are going away. Or shows like Orange is the New Black are being forced down our throats in a 13-hour chunk.
Right.
So, I don't know, full circle. I just feel like there's a lot of stuff that you just want to find out what happens,
mm-hmm.
and not as much stuff that you want to find out why stuff is happening anymore.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting way to put it, I think. I think in terms of our Netflix conversation, there's not a whole lot else to say. I mean, we both watch a lot of stuff on Netflix. I mean, we had a conversation before we started recording about you kind of dialing back on watching, spending time on things that you don't actually enjoy, i.e. House of Cards.
I.e.
Like,
half of the Netflix originals.
I mean, I really like Master of None. I think Kimmy Schmidt is terrific. Obviously, Orange is the New Black is really good. So there's definitely gems in there. But, I mean, you're not in love with Bloodline. You're not in love with House of Cards.
Not in love is a
anyway,
soft way to put it.
Not in love. We didn't love love.
Oh, we didn't love love at all.
I mean, we did a whole podcast
yeah.
on it. So other people did, though. I've seen some really fascinating tweets about people who thought it was moving. Like, very moving. I was like, oh,
maybe
interesting.
Maybe if, like, that's...
Okay.
I don't want to go back into this,
no.
but if that's the life, the kind of life you live, maybe it's more
relatable
and
appealing.
We don't live that life in LA, so
we don't
know.
Anyway, I think, do you want to say anything about kind of what you've seen so far of this Orange is the New Black season, or? just that it kind of reminded you of the quality of it.
I'll just say this. I think that the show has this weird, not a curse, but it has this weird thing going on where Piper is not, like, a great main character.
No.
And they realize that at some point, and they
Yeah, because she took a back seat in the third season.
Like, she's just another one of the girls now.
Correct.
Is that derogatory, girls?
No, I don't... What? No. She's just another character. It's more of an ensemble show than I think it ever has been.
I just remember on Supergirl where they were like, why not Superwoman? And they had to do this whole weird, like, mental gymnastics to explain why they were doing girl instead of woman. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, I think pretty much every single person on the show is amazing. Like, they're all amazing. Just, it's quite the showcase for just incredible and diverse female actresses.
There's characters who are super interesting and who were central to the storyline in previous seasons who aren't even in the show right now.
Right.
Not going to name them, I guess, but yeah, they just have a really strong... It's very Game of Thrones-like in the size of the cast
the
that
scope.
They have.
Yeah, the scope.
And how many of them are actually interesting. It's just kind of a cool... As weird as this is to say, probably out of context, it's just like a fun prison to hang out in. For a while.
And it does get dark, and it definitely deals with certain things in a very serious way. There's a couple things they did last season that I thought were really profound and moving. Although I didn't think the third season was as good as the first two, and I'm just now getting into kind of the meat of season four, so we'll see, you know. I do think that it's been quality throughout, but definitely not as good last year as it was the two previous years. But I think we both like it, and we kind of don't really have anything against it. It just goes down easy.
It's very easy to watch like four of them in a row.
It's like eating a bag of Oreos.
Even though they are all like an hour long. And usually that's one of my initial primary complaints about shows is why is every episode an hour? But it's not that annoying with this show because there's a lot to go around. Let's talk about another show that we like.
Okay. Well, Veep on HBO wrapped up its fifth season on Sunday, and it kind of... This is going to get into some spoiler territory if you don't watch Veep, but they kind of almost wrapped a lot of it up as if it kind of was a series finale.
Did you think the show was over when you finished the episode?
I had to Google whether or not they got renewed, because I couldn't remember. Because they basically put all the characters in a situation like Selena Meyer, the main character that... was the Veep for the first few seasons and then became kind of an accidental president. She loses the election and someone else is now president. A different female who is Hispanic.
She's not part of her cabinet?
Nope.
Or anything?
She didn't get Secretary of State. And they even had her flying away from the White House in a helicopter and the helicopter breaks down and they have to land the helicopter.
And they all died.
No, nobody died. But like, they like even her exit from the White House was like botched.
They
just left her in a place of just, like, she's not, there's no chance of her
this
becoming
show,
the president again, or the vice president.
We talked about this show earlier a little bit, I believe, but, like, it was just so funny this season.
This season was so funny. Funnier than I ever remember it being. I mean, it's always been good, but...
Just every character bounces off each other so well and is so funny in so many different ways.
The jokes fly so quick.
It just wouldn't even have made sense for the show to be over, but the show as we know it might be over.
Correct. Which is weird. I told you, when I was Googling, I found this interview with the new showrunner who took over for this fifth season from the guy who created it. And apparently they're kind of changing things up. They're going to change up the formula, and they're going to... Supposedly the sixth season will follow the sort of life of her as being a former president. So she's going back into civilian life. And we were kind of talking before we recorded is, like, the interesting thing is, like, what do you do with all the characters that were working for her for all those seasons? These great supporting roles that are all hilarious.
Like, what excuse do they have to all be together
how are they
going to
keep the gang together if they're not working together anymore? It's going to be interesting.
I don't know. It's maybe it's like a fake out, which Game of Thrones has obviously done. But the fact that I'm comparing Veep to Game of Thrones in that way is weird.
It is, but I have a lot of faith in the show, though. The show has been consistently funny for five seasons, and it's honestly one of my favorite things on TV. Not even just comedies; like, I just genuinely look forward to it. It's a perfect breezy 30 minutes. It's a great satire of American politics and the circus of our political system. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is dynamite on it. She's funny. so funny. I laugh out loud at 90% of what comes out of her mouth.
She's a goddess of terrific. TV comedy.
So I don't know what else to say, but it felt there was a sort of sense of weird finality to it, or maybe that was just sort of a closing of that chapter, and then we are going to get like a totally different kind of version of the show. They could
jump forward, I guess, and like have her running for president in 2020 or something.
Who knows? I don't know what to expect, but I mean, but you liked the episode though, even though it was kind of a final thing. Do you want to talk about the episode itself, like the finale episode?
Well, let me mention this one thing. We were talking about TV and movies before, and the one thing that TV can do that movies just can't, because they don't have enough time, is have these amazing like character moments that you can only do after you build up to them for several seasons, basically. And the moment with Gary, who's played by Tony Hale,
who is always just hilarious.
If you've seen Arrested Development, he's Buster. He has a moment where he breaks down because he realizes they're going to lose. And, like, it was just so, like, I was crying tears of joy, or tears of laughter, and also sadness at the same exact time.
Because it's, like, so genuine, but also so funny.
Yeah, it was unreal how amazing that moment was. And it was just, like, one of those things that you can only do after 5 seasons. Similar to the documentary episode they pulled off in episode 9.
Yeah.
Was not something they could have done until now.
Right.
And plus, the way they, even logistically, the way they set it up throughout this season was brilliant, too.
Yes.
I just really hope that, I mean, I assume they have an idea of where they're going next.
Yeah.
But I just hope that it's as amazing as this season was.
Yeah, I hope that I kind of said this before, and maybe this is just a little reductive, but the show's job for me is just to be funny. Like, it makes me laugh. So even if it's, like, kind of, like, completely different and it is less focused on the so, like, hard into the political stuff, as long as it's funny, I think we're in good shape.
Oh, and it's funny.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm very curious about it. We just wanted to touch on that because that was sort of a kind of a weird, like, we had a great season and then that final episode was like kind of like, oh, okay, what else, like, is there?
Is
it over now? Like, I Googled whether or not they got renewed because I couldn't remember. I was, like, watching
until the end of the credits, like, intently because I was like, something else has to happen. This can't be the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
interesting.
It's weird.
Anything else we want to say? Anything else we want to talk about in terms of Netflix, state of TV? We always talk about state of TV.
What else are you watching? It's the only thing
I watched The Night Of on HBO Now.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that soon, I think.
We are. Everybody check it out. It's on HBO Now and HBO Go. It is an hour and 20 minutes, so it's longer, but it's a limited series on HBO. I won't say anything about it because it's one of those things you want to watch without spoilers. But terrific actors in it, really interestingly shot. I'm looking forward to the rest of it, so check that out. The premiere, official premiere on actual HBO on TV is July 10th, so Sunday, next Sunday.
Which might just be Sunday by the time we put this out, but who knows?
That's possible. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for us here at the Foxworthy Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. You can find us on Twitter at FoxworthyPod. You can find Taylor at GainsTaylor. You can find me at FoxBJ_88.
You should probably tweet more.
I don't tweet as much as I should, and I will confess to the people now that I'm not so good at Twitter. I read a lot of Twitter. I don't tweet a lot. But I noticed you wrote a piece kind of about Game of Thrones, and you put it on the website.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
The FoxworthyPodcast.com, there's a little Game of Thrones thing. Just because I was like, stupid Brian, I'm not going to be able to talk about this on the podcast. So I'm just going to write something about it. Great finale. Just amazing Game of Thrones episode.
That's something that I should definitely, instead of, we've talked about kind of dialing back on things we don't really enjoy that much, I should stop watching other garbage and just watch Game of Thrones and get that kind of done and out of the way.
Yeah, even though, as I put it on the website, I feel like the show's finally going to start now. You know?
Alright, well.
So, go read that too.
Yeah.
Go on iTunes, if you've made it this far, and you like us, just go on and like rate us. There's a little 5-star rating thing, and like obviously you would just put 5 stars and then you would just write whatever you thought about
write us a rave, please.
Yeah, just do it. We only have 2 reviews on there, so just hit us up.
Yep. Well, thanks everyone very much for listening. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Foxworthy Podcast.